Hello, everybody, and welcome back to episode 6 of Under the Knife.
Under the Knife.
Which is cool. Six episodes.
Six episodes.
That's a lot of episodes. We're fucking doing well here.
Yes.
This episode, we're going to open this shit up. We're going to open this place up.
We're open the pit up. Side to side.
Side
front
to the fucking side. For the Acacia Strain's new album. We're kind of reviewing the new album by Acacia Strain called Slow Decay. But we're not. Because when we originally decided to do this, we were reviewing them individually as they came out, weren't we? So they released a 2-song EP called D, and then one called E, C, A, Y, and then they've chucked another couple of extra songs in and re-released all that shit for as a full album. So technically, we're not reviewing Slow Decay, we're reviewing Decay as a set of EPs.
It's Slow Decay.
We could go back and do Slow Decay, but I'm really not fucking bothered, to be honest. So, Jack, this album was released at some point very recently.
Oh, that's good.
I don't have it in front of me, but at some point very recently, this album came out. Slow Decay, 24th of July, 2 days ago.
Wow.
So we are on the money.
We're on the money, right?
Through Rise Records.
Of course.
By the Acacia Strain, who right now I'm guessing they're still a four-piece, apparently.
Four-piece? I thought they were a five-piece.
No, they haven't been a five-piece for fucking years. They were a five-piece on like their very first album.
No, surely. I'm absolutely certain.
They were a three-piece at one point, weren't they?
No. I was certain they were a five-piece.
No, sorry, yeah, four-piece, yeah.
Damn, they're a five-piece.
That's five, yeah. They're five. A five-piece.
Yeah, because now they used to be a four-piece.
They used to be a four-piece, yeah, yeah.
And then when DL left, they got two guitarists instead.
Yeah.
So when they released, what was the album that had Cauterizer?
Coma Witch?
Coma Witch. That was the first album where they had two guitarists, I think. Was it Coma Witch?
No, it wasn't, because when they originally formed, they had three guitarists on the very first album. So.
Right, anyway.
Yes, so.
Five-piece.
Came out then on Rise Records. The Acacia Strain, American metalcore band, deathcore band, whatever you want to call it.
Don't call them deathcore.
Don't call them deathcore. It was face.
They don't
though.
Like it.
It'll beat you up, like that guy in the crowd before. From Chicopee, Massachusetts.
Chicopee.
So, Jack, D-E-C-A-Y. May as well call it S-H-I-T-E for all I fucking care. What do you think of this?
So, we've liked, here we go, a little bit more backstory. We've liked the Acacia Strain. Was it The Dead Walk? Was that what it was called?
Second album. Yeah.
The one with...
Second album, third album. One with 4x4,
yeah.
Burnface.
I've liked the Acacia Strain since then. I didn't like the first
fucking
album.
Fucking mint album.
That was a sick album. And then they released Continent, which was excellent.
Mm-hmm.
And then they released Wormwood, which was excellent. Mm-hmm. And then it all went downhill.
And then DL and that other guy, Jack Strong, or whatever his name is, the bassist and the guitarist, both fucked off.
No,
and then
Jack
all
Strong
went
was,
to shit.
Jack Strong was still in it for a little bit longer.
I think he left after that album, after the album after, didn't he?
What was the album after Wormwood?
Death is the Only Mortal.
That was shit.
Yeah, once he realised that was a shower of shite, he fucked off as well.
Yeah, that was shit. Coma Witch was shit.
Grave Bloom was shit. It Comes in Waves was shit.
It comes with, do you know what? At least try to do something a bit different.
I thought that actually when it came out, yeah.
Because
it was a bit more.
The issue with this album is it's just so samey.
It's unbelievable.
It's the same as Coma Witch, which was shit, and it's the same as the one after Coma Witch, which was shit. It's got the most boring guitar tone ever. The songwriting's just so unbelievably boring and doesn't have any riffs. It's just a series of very boring breakdowns. And
his vocals
Vincent
don't
Bennett,
help either.
I know, it's just droning. He just drones over every song. He doesn't even like... He can't get a pen and go, do you know what, I'm going to do something a little bit different this time. I'm going to like try and mix it up with some of the patterns. I'm just going to constantly go, wah, wah, wah. Wah, wah, wah.
Yeah.
It's just, that is it.
I can't
remember constant.
Can't remember which song it is, but it opens going, dun, 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 dun. And then he goes, crushed. Dun, 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 dun. I'm like, here we go. He goes, by the weight. Dun, dun, dun. And the fucking riff hasn't even ended yet. And I'm like, I am so bored of this song already.
It's so boring.
Fucking hell.
Just like I said, so do you know what? Counterparts, on the last episode that we did, at least they write good music over and over again, whereas this is just shit music over and over again.
It's garbage.
I can't see how anyone can like it still. It's just so boring.
Who the fucking hell is going out and buying these albums?
Don't know.
It fucking baffles me. The amount of good deathcore bands there is in the scene at the moment that came out this year alone, who is going to buy this?
Go listen to the new Suicide Silence album.
Fucking baffles me.
Don't do that. The one before was not that good, but this one's good.
Is it? Oh, right. Yeah. I'll take you off and wear for this. I'm still not going to listen to it, though.
No, you won't. It's just boring. It's just so boring. I've never, ever seen a band. Do you know what? If they did The Dead Walk or Continent or Wormwood over and over again, I'd be happy because at least that's good music done again. But they thought, do you know what? We'll release a shit album and then we'll just do that over and over again instead of the good stuff.
It must take them about a week to write an album.
I think I could write the album.
Just whatever falls out of his guitar, he's just chugging about and he goes, oh, song there. Yeah.
That's a song.
Chugs about a bit. Oh, yeah, another song.
That's a song.
Just throw some generic fucking lyrics over the top of that, Vincent. Make sure you try your least.
Yeah, don't try hard though, because
this album's a fucking insult to the fans.
It's just shit.
This band should have hung up after Wormwood.
After Wormwood.
Or at least a couple of albums after that when they realised, you know what? Our last two albums, they weren't that good. Sorry. Just packed it in and did something else. Because this is fucking disgraceful.
It's just embarrassing, isn't it? It's just you should have just gave up so long ago. Like, it just upsets me because they used to be so good as well.
That's what's annoying.
That's what upset me because they when you go to Continent, every song is like a different tempo. It's got different little like exciting bits. Even Wormwood, because Wormwood was quite samey front to back.
That's when they started doing this more generic, slowed down.
It was still cool. It was still well written.
Mm-hmm.
The songs were different enough
for the time as well. That was at the time something that they hadn't done exclusively before.
Yeah. They've just given up.
Absolutely fucking given up.
Given up.
Vincent phones it in again, as he has done on every album since Wormwood. What pisses me off the most about Vincent Bennett as well is, you know, this constant misanthropic lyrical theme. Fair enough, but there used to be an element of like black comedy about his vocals, especially on albums like Continent.
Yeah.
That were fun to listen to. There's nothing fun about this album.
Not fun at all. It's not even funny. Like, that's the thing. It used to be like Vincent.
It used to be a parody.
Yeah.
Almost. Now he's just a parody of himself, but not intentionally.
It's just shit.
It's fucking garbage.
It's rubbish.
This album pissed me off no end.
It's just so boring.
And the thing that's even worse about it as well is that it's almost like they know how shit this is, so then they had to release it in this fucking ridiculous gimmicky fashion where they release two songs
at
every however long with the letter or whatever. And then who the fuck is going to listen to all of them songs like we've done and then gone, do you know what? I'm buying that full length.
I'm buying that. But do you know what? I think I've seen a few people on my Facebook timeline who were like, this is fire.
That's what baffles me.
It's fucking rubbish. It's trash. It's hot trash.
Hot trash. So there you go.
I would now, at this point, just rather than break up.
I would. I wish they'd split up a long time ago, to be honest, because I did used to like this band. But I think releasing albums like this again and again is a disservice to themselves.
Fucking guitar tone is so boring.
It's
the most lackluster guitar tone I think I've heard ever. Like it's just come out of his amp and he's just turned like all the gain down or something and he's just gone, yeah, I'll do.
The thing is,
they liked it last time, so we might as well not try any harder and get a nice guitar tone.
None of these songs are bad in isolation. It's the fact that every song is the same.
The exact same. And like, it's been the exact same for four albums.
If you put any of these songs on Wormwood, for example, or Continent, or The Dead Walk, the song would come on and you go, whoa, that's heavy.
Yeah.
And then you'd move on to another song after that. But hey, you don't. That heavy song is essentially a full album long.
Oh, yeah.
Who the fuck wants to listen to that?
Not me.
This is like putting yourself through tactical nuke. Except without it being funny.
Without being funny and like, yeah. And like a fucking troll of itself.
Yeah, yeah. So, yeah, this is fucking shit.
It's shit.
Are you going to rate it?
2.
Wow.
Give it a 2. It's just fucking boring. Like, it makes me sad now when I listen to it.
Yeah.
Because they used to just be so good and I used to like them so much and they were like mint. It's just fucking shit now.
This album pissed me off no end, but because the core band itself, I sort of like. I mean, I
haven't liked it for years.
No. I'm going to give it a 3.5. Maybe.
Really?
Yeah. It's still listenable. It's serviceable, isn't it?
Yeah, well, yeah,
do you have a favourite track?
No.
Any of this shit?
No.
I think my favourite track was the one with, what's that last called?
Jess. Nicks or something like that.
It might not have been that one. It might have been the other one, Corey LaPlante. Anyway, it was basically because there was another singer on it, I think. Something different.
That used to be cool as well when he did that like years ago.
What's that?
He used to try and get like underground vocalists on.
Yeah. Why try, yeah?
Yeah, and, that, and like
why,
now we
why,
just...
Why bother trying when the people just come and lap this shit up anyway? Mugs. A lot of you. Mugs. Worms. Maggots. Right, okay. Anyway, that's enough of that shit.
Next!
Yeah. Next band up is Exocrine with the album Maelstrom. Or Exocrine with the album Maelstrom, who are a French technical death metal band. Their album came out on 26th of June. On Unique Leader Records, obviously, because they've monopolized every technical death metal band in the world.
I have
it. Yeah. So yeah, Exocrine, a French band.
You don't really see any French like death metal
bands.
These
are like the third French metal band I think I've ever liked.
Yeah, do you like Gojira?
Not really. No, they're all right.
They're
one of the three, and I don't even like them that much, to be honest.
So,
do you know who else is French?
Who?
Benighted.
They're shit.
Well, they're not shit.
Don't even. Just, but yeah, we won't get on with that.
Ad Patres was the other one. I don't think they're a thing anymore. Very small underground death metal fan.
There used to be a lot of hardcore come up fans, wasn't there?
Was there? I don't know.
I might be talking shit. Anyway.
French music seems shit anyway.
Exocrine.
Exocrine, yeah, except from these guys. Exocrine, yeah. Technical death metal of the squeaky clean. Faceless variety. Jack, what did you make of this?
It was actually really good.
Yeah?
Yeah.
I fucking really like this album.
I thought it's really cool.
At first I thought, yeah, it's good. Is it that good though? Because there's more technical bands out there and there's more brutal bands out there. And I'm thinking, does this do it as well as any of them? But I've listened the shit out of this album.
What we said before for all the other ones, you know, all the things that try and be like too technical and they don't have like a bass that holds it down,
mm-hmm.
or like a riff that you can come back to or something that just like anchors the song that you can have a nice. This has that.
Yeah.
This has that. It's not just like super technical for being technical's sake. The technical bits actually sound really nice, and the heavy bits are really, really heavy. Yeah.
When I say it's not, there's more technical bands out there, I'm thinking of like The Faceless, who I think this sounds a lot like. They, for example, are very similar to this, but they are far more technical than this.
Yes.
For example. And your Psychroptics and your Spawn of Possessions and all that shit.
Squeaky clean.
Super squeaky clean.
Squeakiest.
I actually think the least thing about this, the album I like.
The thing you like least about the album.
The thing I like least about the album is the production.
Okay.
I think. The bass drum gets on my fucking tits.
Okay. Didn't even notice.
It's like
it.
A typewriter. And the guitars are a little bit too of the forefront of the mix as well, right. I think. But other than that, that's a very minor flaw. I thought it was fucking great, really.
I thought it was really good. I really enjoyed it.
Very surprised. Because I've never heard of them. This is like the fourth album. So the
oh, is it?
Yeah.
So the like I said before, for somebody who's not massively into technical death metal, which I'll at some point stop saying, because if anyone's actually listened to this, they'll know that I don't like it. It's not something I go out of my way to listen to. It was surprisingly easy to listen to.
Yeah.
Because
some catchy songs on there, aren't
there? There is some very catchy songs. The vocalist makes it quite easy because he does a lot of like repetition bits.
I think stylistically, not only will this appeal to fans of stuff like The Faceless, but also the technical deathcore crowd, like Shadow of Intent and stuff like that.
Yeah, yeah.
Because he has got some of that sort of like cupped mic deathcore-y style to his vocals.
Yeah, I know what you mean. So, like,
and they're catchy and well produced and stuff.
Very well produced. I think my favourite song was Bring the Tracklist Up.
Tracklist in. Where's the track listing gone? Daniel. Oh, no, there it is. It's right there.
Wall of Water.
Wall of Water was my favourite song. We've just every single water. One so far.
We don't fucking talk about the albums anymore to each
Wall
other.
Wall of Water. And I also really liked Abyssal Flesh as well.
Abyssal Flesh, yeah. That was one of my other favourites.
To be honest, I like every track. The Wreck.
They do this thing, okay? And I'm surprised. No, I don't know if anybody else has said it because I've never looked. I don't look at any of the comments or anything. I'll try to like make my own opinion first. They have literally stolen the soundtrack for The Stranger Things.
What?
Yeah, 3.5 minutes into the first song, it's like do 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 do. It's like
I know what you mean.
It sounds exactly like the intro to Stranger Things.
I didn't think he did.
They do it like two or three times as well.
I don't remember that.
And there's obviously, if you're like if you're very snooty about your music and you like weird things, like we like the somber bits on August Burns Red's, like the bit where start playing like different weird instruments. The guy, is it a trumpet?
He plays the trumpet, yeah.
The guy plays the trumpet.
Jack texted me and said, what do you think about the saxophone?
saxophone like, on the album. It's a fucking trumpet,
for starters.
So, guy plays the trumpet.
There's a trumpet. It appears like four times on the album.
It's like a mafia film.
I think it's really fucking cool.
It is cool.
It's like, it adds a sort of weird film noir sort of element to
That's it. That's it, film noir. Which song is it? Is it The Wreck?
The Wreck's probably got the... Where, I think that's the first bit appearance of the...
There's like a bit at the end where the waves are crashing as if the wreck's finished, and then he's just playing the trumpet in the background.
It's got like a really... It's like something off like at the back end of a Miles Davis album where everyone's mortaled on whiskey and like...
Yeah.
It sounds really fucking cool.
It's really cool.
There's some more upbeat solos from the trumpet as well. He plays a couple of mad solos I'm not as keen on, but... You know, when they do use it, I think it's really cool.
Yeah, and it's really tastefully done.
Big on the gimmicks, to be honest. After
it's a big gimmick. It is a gimmick.
After Rivers of Nile brought out that Where Owls Know My Name with the fucking saxophone every 5 minutes on it, I was a bit like, it's so overdone. But this is very tastefully done. I really like it.
They only use it two or three times in the album.
Yeah,
and that's all it needed.
Whenever they use it, I don't think, well, that didn't need to be there.
Yeah,
I think it's cool.
It's cool.
I think I like every song.
I think it's
a bad song.
Do you know what? I didn't get bored towards the end, which I normally do with albums like this. And I sat through it, and at the end, I was like, I would 100% listen to that again.
Yeah, totally.
That's coming from someone who doesn't like this sort of music, so
absolutely.
It's a big thumbs up from me.
Big thumbs up.
10 out of 10.
I don't think it's. I think in order to be a 10 out of 10, I think it has to be something that...
What are you going to give out of 10?
Oh, sorry. That's twice you've done that now. 9.
Yeah. Give it an 8.
Yeah.
Give it an 8. Or a 7.75.
If it's not higher than a 9 because it doesn't push the boundaries of the scene at all. I might as well give it an 8.5. Like I say, though, I don't dislike any songs. And if we gave Zabalba a 9 for the same reason, I've got to give this a 9. We've set a precedent there. Like I say though, it doesn't push the boundaries of the scene in any way, and it doesn't technically do anything that anyone else hasn't done before. It just does it very well, very tastefully.
Yeah.
And there's some fucking killer songs on it.
There are some really good songs on there.
I officially like this band.
Yeah, and like for the kids who like the heavy metal stuff, like the really, really heavy, like there is bits on this album that you will just love because it's just so fucking heavy. There's bits that it's just like, and it's just so big and large how it sounds. Mm. It's excellent.
It's very good.
What was that?
Album of the year. Okay.
No, you know, you basically got it full. That's it, your list's over. I'll we'll be
on
no
list.
More.
That'll be on the album of the year list somewhere.
Okay.
Need to decide how many songs my album of the year list can contain.
We're going to try and narrow it down to 10.
There's some fucking hot competition at the moment. I might have to do like externally from the best of list, I might have to do like a top 100 albums of the year.
Top 100? See what Jamie Jaster did, top 100 thrash songs or something.
Yeah, yeah. There's some bangers in there as well.
He did, he has a pretty good list actually.
Did you listen to his top however many hardest hardcore tracks?
No.
That's good. Like,
is it good?
What's that band? Is it called Impaler or someone? No, Marauder. Fucking... Yeah, I discovered Marauder that day. I was like,
I don't know
man,
Marauder.
Cool. It's like if Slayer played hardcore. It's really fucking cool.
Sick.
Anyway.
Next!
Right,
Psilosis.
Okay, next album is a request. The first ever request on the show, mm-hmm. other than that guy who wanted us to review his own EP.
Yeah, so this person messaged us on Instagram and just says, oh, can you please do this album? And now we're going to do it. So everybody else out there who wants an album doing, don't be shy. This person's already done the first one and we're doing that album because they wanted to. So get your requests in, anything that you like or you want us to.
From any extreme genre, any alternative genre.
Any alternative genre.
Yeah, it came out. We don't give a fuck.
Yeah, if you want us to review something, we won't even bother if it's new or not.
Mm-hmm.
But this is new, so it's good.
Yeah. This request came from resident Teesside heartthrob superstar Dave Hodgkiss of the band Motherland.
Check out Motherland.
Yeah, like an alt-rock
Yeah, like an alt-rock indie band. Indie sort of band.
So, obviously, not too fitting for this channel, but if you are into that kind of stuff as well, go and check them out. Yes, then this...
Come on, Dan.
Yeah. And this album is called Cycle of Suffering by the band Psilosis. Fuck me, that was hard.
That was fucking hard.
I made that a lot harder than
you made it hard work out, didn't you?
Yeah, Psilosis are a thrash metal band. This album came out on the 7th of February 2020.
7th of February?
From
not that long ago.
Nuclear Blast. Big label. Big band for a big label. So, Jack, have you heard Psilosis before?
Yes.
Oh my God, really?
I have. I never really listened to that much. I listened to bits, but this is the first one I've really sat down and listened to.
Yeah.
Yeah. I've heard the song that goes, yeah, I've heard that song. Really apart
I was going to tell
that,
you what it was called. I can't remember now.
Isn't it Emporium?
Empire or something, isn't it?
Yeah, something like that.
Anyway, yeah. So that's about it.
It's about it, really, yeah. Saw them live at Sonosphere.
Are you good?
yeah. They played the day after Metallica. So Metallica headlined, like, the first night, and then Psilosis were the first band on the main stage the next day or something like that. Mm. And he was buzzing because he was like the last person who stood here and sang was James Hetfield.
He's a big James Hetfield fan.
Big
like
Metallica
me.
Fan, isn't he?
Yes, he is. And you can tell, I think, in his playing.
Yeah, I think you can.
Especially the way he's more rhythm based than he's not a big lead player, I don't think, is he? He's all about like the tight chugging.
The tight chuggy.
James Hetfield style.
Triple
riffing.
Picking.
Yeah. He's a good guitarist though.
He's a fucking beast.
So yes, not much opinion on Psilosis then.
Previous to this, no.
No.
What about you?
Should like Psilosis in a big way because I am a big thrash metal fan, and anyone who's gonna try and take, because the dude's taste in music is fucking impeccable. Like some of the thrash and death metal bands that he listens
he's
to.
He's big into death, isn't he?
Yeah, he loves death. Symbolic by Death is one of his all-time favourite albums, as it is mine. And anyone who's going to try and take that sort of music and make it relevant to a new audience is all right in my book. I've just never found them very interesting. I thought their first album wasn't very good, and I think that was purely because I didn't like the lead singer.
Yeah, you didn't. I really certainly didn't like him.
Even though I enjoyed Jamie's vocals in Heart of a Coward.
Yeah, which is so weird.
Yeah, but it's not right for the style of music. Yeah. You know, it was a thrash metal album with a death call lead singer, basically. which just didn't gel with me. No. So I think a lot of Pit fans at the time were a bit pissed that he was going to take over on vocals, but I think he does a much better job than the other guy does. It yeah. definitely suits the band down to the ground.
100%.
And I think the second album, Edge of the Earth, is to this day still my favourite Psylosis album because it was the most thrashy and it was the most... I know I can't remember whether you said this in this take or not. You mentioned the Josh Middleton episode of the Downbeat podcast mm-hmm. where he said...
He was the reason why they didn't... The reason why they went on hiatus was because... He didn't really know what he wanted to make of the band. Mm. He kept trying to, like, he was internally torn in different directions as, oh, but we're not as good as Metallica, and we're not yeah. as good as Death, and I'll never be as good as this.
He seems to have all these grand ideas about all the different genres of music he wants to try and cram into Psylosis. But yet, my favorite album is the one where it was the purest form of what they wanted to do. It was just a thrash metal album at the end of the day. And I feel like the two following albums, were comparatively worse because they were trying to do other things.
Yeah.
Which was, I mean, they weren't, there was no mad experimentation on any of that. It's just that, I don't know, just...
It's not as good.
It wasn't as focused. Having said that, even Edge of the Earth, by the end of the album, I'm bored to tears.
Yeah.
I think this is a prime example because he seems like a bit of a control freak. And I think because he's the founding member and lead guitarist and lead singer and presumably writes all the songs, I think it gets monotonous because he's the one writing all the riffs, so that he's always going to go to the same stylistic choices that, mm-hmm. you know, two people bouncing ideas off each other or more would probably avoid.
Yeah.
And that's why I think in the past they've been a bit of a, I don't know, monotonous band.
Okay.
But I do like them as a, like, I could throw a few songs on and be like, this band rips, but yeah. I could never, ever sit through a full Psylosis album.
So,
here we are.
New album.
Yeah. And Dave said, the guy who requested this said that he'd never really been a big fan until he heard this album, and he said this is definitely the most he's enjoyed a Psylosis album. So, obviously, they went on hiatus after the last one. He's gone away and been an architect for a few years.
He wrote the new Architect album.
And then they've come back. And I would say that this is the most different Psylosis album to date.
Is it?
I would say so, yeah.
Okay.
That's not saying much. I know he has all these grand ideas about where he wants to push the band, but at the end of the day, a Psylosis album sounds like a fucking Psylosis album to me. But... There's more melody here, I think. There's more of what I would consider your core elements, your hardcore-y stuff, hardcore-y choruses and breakdowns every now and then.
Mm-hmm.
But I think that this experimentation that he wants to do with the band is at the sacrifice of what makes Psylosis good in the first place. Because there's a distinct lack of riffs on this album for a Psylosis album to me.
So, I think this is where, like, me and you will differ, because you're saying, oh yeah, for a Psylosis album. Because for me, this is the only Psylosis album.
Yeah.
And if I look at this is an album in itself, I think it's fucking awesome.
Did you like it? Yeah.
I fucking loved it.
There's something in the back of my mind which thought you might like this.
It's fucking really mint.
Like it that much?
It's
hell.
Unreal. I don't know what, like, it's thrash, it's heavy, it's like melodic. He's got a fantastic scream. His weird pitchy sing thing makes epic bits.
The pitchy scream thing's kind of new. I don't know whether he's picked that up from being in Architects.
Yeah, probably with Sam. Because Sam's like king of it.
But yeah, I don't think he does it that well.
I think he does it very well.
Yeah,
he does it really
very
well.
Very subtle. He didn't do it very...
But that's the point. It's like, just like I said before, it's just a little bit of flavour on top of the...
Yeah.
He doesn't do it all the time because he doesn't need to. But when he does do it, it's unreal.
Wow, I'm impressed that you like this so much.
I fucking love it, Dave.
Really?
Shout out, my brother.
My man.
It's unreal. It's fantastic. The riffs... Yeah. It's fast and it gets me pumped, but then it's heavy. And then what's that song near the end? Devils in Their Eyes.
Mm. Devil yes, in their that eyes. Was a good song, yeah.
And then the one before it, was it Arms Like Arms a Noose? Like where it's like, it's unreal. It's just, there's not a song that I don't like.
Mm-hmm.
I think it's been, I think it's absolutely fucking class. And I will listen to this album. See, I'm not bothered what Silosis used to sound like. I'm not bothered if they're a thrash or they're like a death or if they're whatever. If they just sound like that from now on, I will listen to Silosis.
Maybe you should go back and listen to their other albums because they're not that much different.
It's good.
Like Monolith isn't like a million miles away from this. It does have less of the hardcore elements though, I think, than what this is. Yeah.
It's a good time. You listen to this album, you just have a good time.
Yeah, well, see, I listen to this album and I have a good time for about 4 songs.
You're fucking pissed, aren't you? Really?
Yeah, and then it all just blurs together for me. It's not, I can't tell one song from the other, really. That's the same with all Silosis albums. It's something about the songwriting eventually numbs my mind.
Really?
I don't think it's a bad album at all. I think what pisses me off the most about Silosis is that he's such a fucking talent and I don't feel like he puts out anywhere near the material that he's capable of. I think he's a much better songwriter and guitarist than what he displays on this album. I mean, don't get me wrong, the guy's an unbelievable guitarist and he has some fucking insane riffs.
The riffs are mint.
Yeah.
The riffs are mint, the breakdowns are mint, the choruses are mint, there's the...
But it doesn't make... None of it makes a memorable song for me.
You're kidding.
No.
But I really like it.
I'm gonna listen to this album more because, you know, if you're making such a big deal about it, there's obviously something here that I could have missed. But for me, it was just another Silosis album, the same as the rest, with elements of, say, for example, Your Architects that has leaked in there from his other influences.
If you're like a fan of Architects or you're a fan of just general metal or thrash, this is like, what is it? Is it like modern thrash metal?
Yeah, it's
metalcore that's got thrash in it.
It, you know, like it. I'm glad that bands like this exist because they're very middle of the road. But bands like this and Trivium, for example, you know, you need bands like that for people to. You know, the straight up metal band that everyone can get into. You know what I mean?
I think it's just a bit better than that, though. It's not just straight up metal.
Yeah. Oh well.
We just agree to disagree.
I've obviously missed the boat on this one.
Yeah, you may have, Dave. I agree
next,
with you, mate.
Next episode, I'll have listened to it more and I'll give you my updated opinion.
Yeah. Updated opinion.
So, what are you gonna rate it?
Me? I'm gonna give it a 9.
Fucking hell! A 9.
A 9.
I'm impressed. You should definitely listen to their old albums, see if you like them.
I might have to.
That Edge of the Earth one's really good.
That was just jamming it on the car on the way here, this album.
Yeah.
As soon as I get in the car, I'm like, because it's like...
Yeah.
Yes!
Yes! So, I like the album. I don't dislike it. I just don't like it anywhere near as much as you. You know, when the riffs... There's some fucking great riffs.
Really good riffs.
The lead lines are very sparse. I would like to see him do more lead work and solos and shit like that, and really let fly, but he doesn't. But, I mean, that's not what he's about, which is fair enough. I just don't think, as an album, that it's as interesting as you think it is. I love several songs of theirs in isolation. It's the same as on any of their albums. Their other album, Monolith, I've got on the CD rack. The first couple of albums, first songs off the album are fucking insane. And then once you've heard them, I'm like, well, I've heard everything this band has to offer now. So, but like I said, I do like it. There's loads of good riffs. It's not that interesting. So I'm going to give it a 7.
Okay.
There we go.
Fair enough.
There we go.
You can't all agree on everything.
I never thought you'd outrank me on a Silosis album, mate, to be fair.
Did you not think I was going to like this album? When you listened to it?
Well, I know that... It's the same as all. It's very similar to some of their other stuff. It is different, but it's not a massive stylistic change. And I know that you don't really like them, so I didn't think this would be any different. I thought you had listened to them and never really bothered.
Right. Okay. Well, there we go.
There we go. Right. The next album we're going to review is Steigenbohr.
Steigenbohr.
Steigenbohr. Whatever it's called. Volume 1, apparently. So I guess there's more to come. By which is a collaborative effort between Bellwitch and Aerial Ruin, apparently. So, Jack. Hang on. Released on the 26th of June, 2020, via Profound Law Records. Jack, Bellwitch. Heard of these before?
Nope.
No, you have not. these are a doom metal band that are so slow.
It couldn't be any slower.
Oh my God, it's slow.
If it went slower, it'd go back in time.
Yeah. I do know Bellwitch, and I actually like Bellwitch, despite how slow it is. I suppose that's part of the reason anyone likes Bellwitch.
If you don't like slow music.
If you don't like slow music, fucking avoid
this. If
you're
into thrash.
I'm into thrash, but if you're a hardcore thrasher and you want thrash or death, this is not the album for you, my friend.
This is not the album for you. You are in the wrong place.
Yes. So, Bellwitch. I'll do a little bio.
Give us a bio.
Bellwitch were a two-piece doom metal band from Seattle, Washington. And they brought out, this is their, I don't know if this is an album. Is this an album? I think it is, yeah.
This is an album.
I think it's an album.
It's fucking long enough.
Not an EP.
If they had an album's worth of songs on this, yeah, it'd probably be 3 hours long.
They have four studio albums included in this one. Longing, Four Phantoms, Mirror Reaper, and then this one. I like all of those albums, to be honest. Particularly Mirror Reaper, which came out in 2017. And if you know anyone who likes this band, they will tell you it's one of the greatest albums ever written.
Yeah.
And I'm not just saying that. You know when I said on that other review, the Pyron one, about the urinal on the wall, where I said it's making music for the sake of art. That is that album done correctly.
Is that art done right?
That is definitely a work of musical art. Your fucking legs under the table. A work of musical art done correctly. And I think it's something that they weren't actually going out to do specifically. Just worked that way. All of their albums before this, Longing, for example, if I just pull the track list for Longing up, has got six songs on it, including an outro, which is only 3 minutes long, that outro, over an hour long. So this is what they do. They're incredibly slow tempo, sparse arrangements, very depressing, at times very melodic, very doomy, at times very heavy, just the nature of how slow it is, and the droning guitars and stuff like that. You know, and I suppose it is an artsy sort of thing to do in the first place. And then prior to the release of Mirror Reaper, after they released Four Phantoms, I don't know whether he quit
But before they released Mirror Reaper?
Before they released Mirror Reaper, the drummer quit the band.
Right.
For whatever reason. I don't know whether there was a reason behind it or not. And they brought someone else in to do drums. Obviously, like I said, they're a two-piece, so there's only a bassist and a drummer.
A bassist? Does the bassist do the singing, or do they both sing?
I think they both sing, but this is where it gets a bit weird. But I'll just talk about this for a sec. Before Mirror Reaper came out, they swapped drummers, and then the drummer who left died, almost immediately afterwards. And they released Mirror Reaper as a tribute to this guy who died, their friend. And even on the album, they included a few sections of his vocals from the previous albums, which were like a leftover take that they didn't use. So it's a very emotional album. And the thing's like fucking 90 minutes long. It's 83 minutes and 15 seconds long. And it's one song.
It's one
83-minute song. And for as a general rule, it's all built around the same bass lick.
The whole thing.
And then it just meanders in different directions and comes back to it. The first time I ever listened to it, I put it on in bed with my headphones in. And, you know, I'm fucking 15 minutes in, I was like, fuck me, this is boring. And I'm like falling asleep. And then, because like it starts with a very somber bass bit. And then, you know, he puts the distortion pedal on and the drums come in and he's like, burr! And I was like, sat upright in bed. I was like, what the fucking hell is this? It's the heaviest thing I've ever heard. And it's, at points, it goes from so emotional to so heavy to, and when the singing comes in halfway through, I'm like, this is the most incredible piece of music I think I've ever heard. This is like, it was, honestly, the album was inspiring. And loads of people loved it, and it ended up on the end of loads of end of year lists. Everyone thought it was fucking amazing. So to whatever this was going to be, was going to be a disappointment to me. I can tell you that for now. This, as I say, is a collaboration, supposedly, between Aerial Ruin and Bellwitch. Okay. Now, Aerial Ruin is just one guy, as far as I'm aware, who plays folk music. But he does guest vocals on several songs on every single album of theirs, as far as I'm aware.
So they're basically a two-piece with an honorary member?
It's just a Bellwitch album, except it's got guitar. That's the only difference. So I don't really understand.
It's not really
a collaboration album, is it? It's just another Bellwitch album.
So what did you think of this then? Because I feel like your opinion will definitely matter more here than mine.
I think it's good. It does. The concept of Aerial Ruin collaborating with Bellwitch is an interesting one because, you know, they're a two-piece. They can do more with guitar, in theory. But I don't really think it adds much. The acoustic bits and stuff are nice, but...
Yeah, I was going to say, there's a lot of the acoustic bits.
It does what I didn't want them to do and just fuck all the Bellwitch stuff off for a full track and play 10 minutes of acoustic, which is what I didn't want. And it does that, which is unfortunate. But he does play guitar in the heavier sections, but it doesn't really make that much of a difference, aside from the fact there's a couple... I think there's a solo in The Bastard Wind, for example. I'm sure there's a solo. But The Bastard Wind and The Unbodied Air, I think, the first and last songs, I think were very good. I think were one of the better songs. The stuff in between, meh. Can take or leave.
It's got a feel, hasn't it? Like I said before when we were talking about doom metal, it's all about a feel. Because obviously there isn't a lot of notes and there isn't a lot of tempo changes. It's all very slow and it's all centered around, like you said, like one riff, one main riff that'll sort of repeat.
Just so goes on and on.
It's very droning. So it gives you a feel. It gives you a nice it's like medieval monk fucking that's what it means. It's like a fucking preparation for battle. Something like that. That's the sort of feel it gives me, and it gives me it very well. And I think it's interesting. Obviously, I've never listened to anything like this before. So is it interesting or is it just interesting because I've never heard of it?
It's different.
I've never heard of something
like
this.
But you're not interested?
I don't think I'm interested.
No.
I don't think it's something I'd go back and listen to.
I had no hope that this was going to be your thing at all.
But at the same time, it's not bad.
I probably won't revisit this either just because I'll go and listen to Mirror Reaper instead.
Is Mirror Reaper that much better?
Yes.
I might have to listen to that instead then.
If you don't like this, you won't like it.
All right, then I won't.
But it's like... That's the thing, is to appreciate Mirror Reaper, you have to listen to the full fucking 80-something minutes, and you're not going to do that, yeah. Let's be honest.
You've got to... It's like with this, it's...
It's an emotional investment.
When the first song, just so you know, for the people who aren't massively into, like, your doom, the first song's 20 minutes, and there's only 5 songs, and the album exceeds an hour in 5 songs. So that's what it's about. It's like every single song's like an epic... So it's all about building to that crescendo of like the distorted bass coming in. And it does do that really well because it takes so long to get there. And because the lyrics are very, like, there's a theme and the lyrics lean into the theme. So when it gets to the crescendo, there is a bit of a payoff. So you feel like, yeah, and then it brings it back down again and it ends. But no, I couldn't listen to it all the time.
No.
I just couldn't do it. It just doesn't excite me.
No. Well, I think if you're a fan of Doom, if you're a fan of Bellwitch, you'll like this because all of this stuff's pretty much the same. This has the added benefit of some guitar, which, you know, if you think that's a benefit, then go for it. I don't think really it adds that much, to be honest. On the back of Mirror Reaper, it's a disappointment, but everything was going to be a disappointment on the back of Mirror Reaper. And if anything, I think they've acknowledged that themselves by the fact that they've had to put out something slightly different in the form of a collaboration or whatever.
Yeah.
So, yeah. Do you want to rate this? Is it a five?
It's a five.
Stone Cold five.
It's a hard five.
No opinion either way.
Middle of the road. Not my thing. I can see why people... I can understand why people would like it.
Mm-hmm.
It's like, just fucking smoke a bunch of weed and listen to Bellwitch.
Yeah.
Like, that's what you do, wouldn't you? Yeah. That is what you do. Is you want to, like, lose yourself. Uh-huh. Or, like, drop some acid or something and listen to Bellwitch. I don't condone doing any of that. But that's what you do. That's what it's made for.
Yeah,
isn't
it? Totally. Yeah.
What about you?
I'm going to give it... 7. Middle of the road. 7.
Middle of
the road. It's good. It's good. It's not the genre pusher that the last one was, so. Yeah. What are you going to do?
Next!
Our last album of the day is the album Cannibal by UK metalcore band Bury Tomorrow from Southampton, England. This album. Was released.
This is only a couple of.
This album was released on the 3rd of July via Music for Nations. I've never even heard of that.
No,
I don't know who they are. Music for Nations. I'm going to click on that, see who else is on Music for Nations.
It's pretty good.
Fucking Metallica? I don't think so.
Shut the fuck up.
Shut the front door. Paradise Lost, Cradle of Filth, Anathema, Exciter. Fucking hell, actually, they're all right.
We have a lot of fucking bands on there.
Yeah. Nice. Opeth. Kirk Hammett. What? Anyway, yes. So, yeah, Bury Tomorrow, Metalcore, UK, new album, Cannibal, Jack. Do you listen to much Bury Tomorrow?
I used to listen to Bury Tomorrow.
Do you?
So,
you?
Oh, did I see them with the Barsy Sleeves? I can't remember. They just released Lionheart. It was before they'd released Union of Crowns, or it's
Lionheart.
Called. Yeah, they released a song called Lionheart.
Oh, right. Sorry, a song. I thought you meant album.
Yeah, so they released a song called Lionheart, and then I was like, oh, that sounds all right. And then I saw them. I'm pretty sure I saw them with Barsy Sleeves or something like that in a really small venue in like Leeds or something.
Yeah.
It was sick. And then they released Union of Crowns or something, and then I saw them in London. And I thought that album was quite good. And then they released Runes, and I still thought that album was all right, but I started to like lose interest.
Mm.
And then I haven't really listened to anything since then, and I know that they've released two albums since then.
Apparently the last one wasn't very good.
Black Flame.
Black Flame apparently wasn't that good. From people who actually like the band, I know, have told me that.
So people like this one?
I think it has received in a more positive light, yeah, than the last one was. I don't really listen to this band. I've never really listened to this band. I remember when they first came on the scene. What was the first album everyone knows called?
Union of Crowns?
Union of Crowns. Is that the one with the dude on the front in like who's like sat on a throne or whatever?
Yeah, Union of Crowns.
I remember when that album first came out, and fuck me, there was some noise made about that. Like Kerrang covered everything possible to do with the band, and everyone referred to it as the second coming of Killswitch Engage and all this shit. And the future of metalcore and all this stuff.
Oh, yeah.
And then after that album came out, I never really heard of them again. Obviously, they've been putting albums out, but I don't really see anyone making a big noise about them anymore.
People were quite into Runes,
yeah.
Man on Fire and stuff like that.
I also remember checking it out at the time because that's a big statement.
And, second going to Killswitch Engage.
Yeah, of being a big Killswitch Engage fan.
Yes.
And I couldn't understand where they were coming from. But nah.
Nah.
Not
true.
There's some good riffs and there's some, you know, clean vocals.
Yeah.
But there's nowhere near the strength of songwriting that Killswitch Engage or anyone had. But, you know, if a UK-based band's going to bring back proper metalcore and do it in the right way, fucking crack on, guys.
Yeah.
You guys do it. So I've never really listened to them, but, you know, they have my support. Go for it.
Yeah.
So... in comparison to those other albums that you do know, considering I don't really know any. I mean, I've listened to just about every album for about three songs and gone, meh.
That's it. Yeah, that's all they are.
And I listen to them and I go, fuck. After a couple of songs, I'm like, these fucking riffs are sick. And then by the third or fourth song, it's just the same again.
It's just the same again. It's just, do you know what it is? It's just, if you want middle of the road metalcore,
mm-hmm.
this is your album. This mm-hmm. is the sort of band that'll get you into metal because the singing is so accessible.
Yes.
And the riffs are so.
I don't think I like the singing.
I hate
it's
it.
It's too much. Like,
I hate
he's
it.
Obviously a, he is a good. It's off. A good. He's a good singer, and there's some good choruses. It just sounds like he sounds like a pop singer in a metal band.
He does. It doesn't like sound right. It sounds like really out of place,
mm-hmm.
and his singing just fucking grinds on me.
Mm.
It does my head in. And do you know what I remember? I said earlier was. Paul Harris, like that other episode where I said something about Paul Harris have to and constantly have singing.
Yes.
They have to put singing in every song.
I agree.
It's like you don't need to have the singing in every single song. There's some songs that would probably be served a bit better if there wasn't any singing in it, it was just heavy. But then they're like, oh, well, we can't go this whole song without writing a chorus.
Totally agree.
So let's stick a chorus in there and make him sing.
Uh-huh.
It's just rubbish. It's just so boring.
Well, I didn't think it was rubbish.
It's not rubbish.
I thought it's fairly well done. I just think it's generic. I don't really see. I mean,
it's so middle of the road.
The first few songs I thought were really good. What's the first few songs? Choke, I think, is a fucking great song. Great riff. Cannibal, The Great Imposter. See, up until there, I'm like, really enjoying it. Fifth song kicks in, and I'm like, same again. Oh, sixth song, same again. Seventh song. And then other than Gods and Machines, which I think I only know because it's a single, couldn't tell you anything about the back, like half of the album.
I think Quake was the slow one.
Totally lost interest.
Or was it Gods and Machines? It was the slow one.
No, Gods and Machines was quite a fast one, I think.
It's just not my bag anymore.
No.
I think it's really, really, really mediocre in my opinion.
I don't think it's really relevant anymore, is it?
No.
I don't think.
You could listen to the first album, you could listen to this album, and it's like, it's basically the same album.
Yeah.
I'm
trying to find something here. Ignore my ignorance for those watching on YouTube. I'm trying to find something to show Jack because I was going to read this out to him. So, Jack, do you remember in episode 3 where we covered, I think it was episode two, where we covered August Burns Red.
Yeah, yeah.
And I mentioned Sputnik Music, the website that I used to haunt the forums of. And I mentioned that this is a poisonous corner of
it's
the internet.
Toxic area.
Toxic corner of the internet full of elitists and gatekeepers. But I always go to it anyway because you always get an honest opinion from these people.
Yeah.
And I pulled up a comment here, right? This guy did a review of this Bury Tomorrow album. He didn't rate it very well. He said it was average. And he said that other bands in the scene do it better.
Yeah.
And he basically accused Bury Tomorrow of being like every other metalcore band in the genre of ripping off Architects. Because he reckons that almost every metalcore band that's come out after Hollow Crown just does Architects, but worse.
Yeah.
And I must say, there's definitely truth to what he says.
I think there is truth to what he says.
I think it's a bit of a simplistic explanation, but that's not what I wanted to bring up. Some guy replied in the comments section, I won't read his name out or anything, and he says, he responded by saying, oh, look away, I want to read it to you.
Has he got the All Shall Perish album?
Yeah, that's how good this guy's opinion is. He says, Architects have been shit for years. As for the album, they have struggled to come close to matching the Union of Crowns. Aside from a handful of tracks, it just doesn't hold my attention, and that applies to their latest couple of releases. Better Below is great, though. And then the guy replies. Everyone gets into this guy for slagging Architects off. So he tries to explain himself and says, after the Here and Now experiment failed, they tried to revert back to the Hollow Crown sound. But by then it was watered down and Sam Carter vocally was knackered and he started doing that laughable scream/sing thing. Discuss.
Is that what...
that was
Lost
a comment.
Forever, Lost Together is the best metal album of the last decade. It was a flat.
Ooh, that's a big statement.
That's a big wasp. Lost Forever, Lost Together is the best metalcore album of
metal
the decade.
Metalcore or metal altogether? I think it's definitely the best metalcore album
of the decade. Of the last decade.
It's probably my favourite metalcore album ever in a post 2010 world, probably.
Count 2014 and I don't think I've heard a better.
If you take out your Unearths, your Killswitch Engages and stuff like that.
But they didn't release a better metal album in after 2010.
No, that's what I'm saying. Yeah. I mean, if you release if you remove the early metalcore offerings from big bands like that, I don't think there's a better. Well,
that obviously, let's just put it out there.
Probably
that guy's a fucking moron.
I know. I just thought I wanted to see your defense of.
He's just an idiot. But like why you're up. Sam Carter.
How can he assume him? What? I don't understand what is laughable about his scream singing.
It's
really
it's
good.
Unbelievable. It's very very good.
Yeah, I don't fucking get
he's
that
just,
at all.
He's just fucking,
he must be on the fucking wind up.
He's probably a troll.
We've fed the troll there. Yeah. I think. So, I just thought it'd be funny to get your opinion there.
But, yeah, he's a fucking moron.
So anyway.
Yeah, this album, it's very much in the same vein of...
all their other albums.
So it's like the Acacia Strain, but not quite to the same degree. So for me, they've written a couple of like all right albums early on in their career and they've gone, all right, we can make a living out of this. We don't have to get proper jobs. Mm. That's all right, innit? So then they've gone. Well, boys,
if we just do the same thing every fucking album, then we've got it fucking spent, haven't we? We're sorted. We don't have to get jobs. Just keep it on the hush hush. We'll not try and do anything like new. Yeah. We'll just do the same thing over and over again.
We don't have to put any effort in. Yeah, we'll get paid anyway.
We're going to get paid. People like us. Our lead singer's attractive. So we're fucking sorted.
The thing, yeah. I suppose
That's it. They've got something that they do well.
The difference is there, though, is that Acacia Strain were good and then they've settled for some utter shite and they're just going to rehash that same shite. Whereas these guys have always been okay, and they're releasing the same okay
they're just
material.
They're releasing the same okay, they might and people not, just
they
might like
not
it.
Be, there's some people not, like it, and that's they're probably fine. Not capable of anything more experimental than this, which is fine. Because I think that's where there's a bit of hypocrisy can come in. Because I mean, like, for example, Slayer have released the same fucking album for years and years and years and years, but people like Slayer. I like Slayer. Because whatever Slayer does, they do well.
That's it. Sometimes
that's the difference, the devil, though, you know, is that you don't have to push the boundaries if whatever you do, you're good at. The Acacia Strain are not good at what they do anymore. Every band in the scene is better than them at them now.
Yeah.
There's a lot of bands better than this now, unfortunately, but this isn't the worst that it has to offer.
No, it's not the worst. It's like, Lord, I think people will listen to this and go, oh, the choruses are really catchy and they've got some heavy bits. But for me, it's just really boring.
For me, just go and listen to the Make Them Suffer album instead.
Yeah.
That was better.
Or Architect.
Or fucking Killswitch, or any of the older bands.
Yeah, It doesn't bother me. I'm not bothered. It's not going to sway my opinion. Yeah,
this is the most I've listened to one of these bands, but one of these albums. But it's probably just because we were reviewing it.
Yeah. So it's inoffensive, but it's not. It's not made me a fan. So,
rating
6.
I was going to say 6 as well.
I'm going to go 6 because it's like I like it more than just I can listen to it and then I can do that to a few bits that are really heavy. So I don't dislike it.
I do think
it.
Choke is a good song. I think the first 4 songs are perfectly serviceable. Metalcore. The rest of
perfectly
it.
Serviceable.
Perfect. That's what this album is.
Perfectly serviceable.
It's like that, you know, your neighbour down the street has got that shit bag Vauxhall Astra that's been going for like 20 years. And he's like, does the job. That is this album.
That is this album.
Yeah.
What? So we said that we were going to do something before we went.
I was going to say this. What was it?
We're going to pick our favourite album out of everything that we reviewed today.
Well, that shouldn't be too hard for you. Let me just review the list. It's either Exocrine... or Defeated Sanity.
Okay.
What about you?
Mine is obviously the Psylosis.
Yes.
Or Make Them Suffer.
Yeah.
I really like that Make Them Suffer album.
Strong album, that.
Very, very strong album.
Yeah.
Check them four out. Yes. If you're going to do anything, check those four out.
Yeah. It'll probably be really confusing to everyone who doesn't realise that we filmed three episodes in one go.
So, as per usual, subscribe to the YouTube channel and press the bell notification so you know that we, when we upload videos, any recommendations like Dave gave us for Psylosis, hit us up. Just anything that you want us to review, let us know, and then we'll shout you out and we'll review the album, whether it's new or not. Like us on Facebook and Instagram. And then we are also going to upload the podcast to, what was it? Apple Music and
Spotify.
So you can listen to all the big, long, talky bits in one go instead of just the chopped up YouTube videos. But thank you very much for coming, and we will see you next time.